Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Coffee with Innovate Finance, our podcast where we speak with leaders across industry to look at what's next in financial services and fintech. Our podcasts are available on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, and at innovatefinance.com. I'm Janine Hurt, CEO of Innovate Finance, and today I am so excited to be joined by Azechi Britton, MBE CEO of CFIT.
Hey Janine, absolute pleasure to be on this with you. We've been trying to get this in the diary for so long, so we're absolutely thrilled. And you were the first person to interview me as CEO of CFIT at IFGS this year. So it's really nice to have my final interview of the year with you.
Well, we are delighted. And I have to say, I mean, we've gone back. I think it's been fantastic to see your journey and you're bringing so much expertise into the role. So I have to say, when I saw you were appointed a year ago now, I couldn't have been more thrilled because I know you are the perfect person to take this forward and really make the impact that you currently are making. So fantastic to hear about where you are now and dive a little bit into CFIT, or the Center for Finance, Innovation and Technology. But before we do that, as I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your background and your personal journey, because I think it's so phenomenal where you've gotten to and the experiences that you've had getting to this point in your life today.
Yeah, well, I mean, how far back do you want to go? Usually this talk takes about, I actually timed it, it's about 50 minutes. I do my full story. I think let's start at university though. I went to the university. I grew up in Lewisham. You know, I'm half Nigerian, half English, Ezechi Britton. I'm literally half and half. I like to think of myself a bit like Blade from the Marvel comics, you know, strengths of both, weaknesses of none. That's kind of how I see myself. So
love
but
it.
no, yeah, really, really interesting upbringing. Obviously not the type of background that you expect for someone in a role running an organization like this, but even more so when you consider the journey, you know, having to resit my A-levels, which was a fun time, going on to do a computer science degree at the University of Kent at Canterbury, doing a bit of a short detour traveling around the world, and then you know, starting my first graduate role at Lehman Brothers in their credit derivatives risk and pricing technology team, where I spent 5 years just prior to the crash actually happening, and then spending a bit of time with Lehman and PwC as Lehman went through administration. But moving from there to Switzerland, actually, which I know very dear to your heart, spent about 5 years at Credit Suisse in equity derivatives risk and pricing technology. So well over 10 years as a software developer, working in complex derivative products, working very closely with traders, quants, analysts, the works, research, the works, and building complex trade pricing systems. And off the back of that, came back to the UK and co-founded my own fintech with my two co-founders, Monica and Martin, which was Neighbor, which was an online lender. Initially started out as a peer-to-peer concept and became a salary deducted lending facility for UK based employees. We raised over 200 million. We lent out over 170 million to UK employees. And that was a really incredible learning experience for me, taking an idea literally from conception to scale up. And then unfortunately, we hit some of the very barriers that CFIT's here to help solve for, right? You know, we couldn't raise the funds that we needed anymore. We ended up being taken over by a competitor. And that was a really interesting journey. I learned a huge amount during that. But off the back of that, I was able to launch my own organization, Code Untapped, which was, we called it a digital skills incubator. And it was very much around bringing together diverse technology talent and helping them find roles within corporate banks, but through running on-site hackathons, coding workshops, and giving them the real opportunity to not just talk about what they do, because a lot of them couldn't even get into the room, but to be able to showcase what they can do, really prove actions, not words. Look, this is what I am, this is how I work, this is how I engage, and this is my capability. And actually, you start to see a common thread between some of these different activities I've been involved in and what we're doing at CFIT now, actually. And it was largely through that work at Code Untapped that I got my MBE last year for services to diversity and young people. But off the back of running Code Untapped, I joined Impact X Capital, venture capital fund, and I was there for 5 years. And we were investing in diverse and underrepresented founders. And actually one of the marquee deals that we had was in Marshmallow, which is only the second Black-run unicorn to have come out of the UK, run by Alex and Oliver. So we're really, really pleased by that. So That first portfolio of companies has seen some incredible success with Marshmallow, with Health and Her, with Raylo as well, another fantastic company in that portfolio. So we've seen some really incredible outcomes. And then off the back of that, became a trustee for Crisis. I've worked very closely with the water sector as well, been an advisor to Spring and helping them with their center of excellence. So that very squiggly career going from technologist to tech founder and CTO to VC and trustee and advisor, naturally, I think, I don't know, brought me into CFIT when they approached me and said, look, we've got this really high profile CEO role and your name keeps coming up and we'd love you to put yourself forward. And I realized what it was for. I thought to myself, well, this is an opportunity I just can't say no to. You know, when I spent 10 years in investment banking technology, and one of the reasons why, as much as I loved that environment, but one of the reasons why I stepped away is I felt as a technologist, I'll never get the opportunity to really lead in this space. You know, this was before we knew of the term fintech. It didn't really exist back then. And now you see technologists really taking that lead role in a lot of these organizations. So to be able to have the opportunity to actually lead from the front in such an important space and to work alongside, you know, people like yourself, Janine, it's been an absolute honor and a privilege to have this role. And, you know, I wake up every day thinking, hey, this is super tough, but also I can't believe that I've had the opportunity to do this, right? And to work alongside people like Charlotte Croswell, you know, Ron Khalif Saron interviewed me for the role as well. And just some of the incredible organizations we've got around the table. We've got over 60 companies in this first coalition of ours, ranging from the likes of HSBC to iWalker to Revolut to the FCA that we work with, and to be really part of that ecosystem in such a prominent position, and not just to be saying, well, this is what we want to do, but this is what we are doing to make change, has been absolutely phenomenal. And I know when we first talked about this, it was all very kind of, well, this is where we think we're going, this is what we think we're going to be doing, to now be able to talk about what we've done is a big shift. So I'm really excited about that. So thank you for the opportunity.
So let's dig right into that point, Ez, because I think it's been, 9 months now, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about CFIT, about, you know, what has the journey so far been like? What are you hoping to achieve before the end of your first year, for example? And just tell us a little bit. I know CFIT came out as a recommendation of the Khalif Review, which Innovate Finance served as the co-secretariat for. We'd love to hear a bit more about where it is and what point you're at right now.
Yeah, so it's hard to believe it's only been 9 months, right, since CFIT launched. I think it's about 8 months since I actually became CEO. It's insane, really, what we've been able to do in that time. And as you said, quite rightly, we were a recommendation out of the Khalifa Review alongside the FinTech Growth Fund, which also launched earlier this year. And our role, it's been such a hard one to quantify. You know, everyone had a different perspective on what is it that CFIT does and what are you here to do? And I see us as being value additive to the ecosystem. We're here to really bring together and sit at that intersection between government regulators, industry, trade bodies such as yourselves that represent the entire sector, and academia, and really go, okay, we all know this is a problem over here. Let's all come together. Let's actually try and build something that showcases why we should solve this. Let's show a pathway to how we can be successful. And let's put together a blueprint or a roadmap or a 5-point plan that shows how, as industry, we can drive and increase adoption to solve this specific problem. And then let's bring the regulators, let's bring government along for that ride as well, and show how we can all work together to take this forwards. And that's really what we're here to do, right? We're here to inject some mission, inject some pace, some action into it, and go, we all know what the problem is. We've all been talking about it. So let's actually do something about it. And off this first coalition, you know, we selected Open Finance as being probably, I think, one of the most important issues right now, because if we look at technology and fintech innovation specifically, I actually think open finance, open data is the next frontier of innovation in this space. Without it, we're kind of at a bit of a, I would say, a bit of a juncture right now, right? how do we take innovation forwards? And it's about unlocking that data, unlocking that those opportunities, and really creating better outcomes for consumers and SMEs. Because if we can do that, if we can create better outcomes, not necessarily cheaper outcomes, but if we can get to decisions faster, if we can create more suitable products for individuals, we can start to tap into, we can start to solve some of those consumer duty obligations that are out there now. And we can create more personalized products for individuals, then we unlock a whole new wave of innovation. We create more customer adoption. We see more fintechs able to generate sales, build traction, and actually grow. And that's the route to scale up financing as well, which then organizations like the Fintech Growth Fund can really play into. But what we then see if we tackle open finance and we start to drive those standards as well as a country and take a lead role, we then start to see the rest of the world paying attention. And if the rest of the world is building out on those same API standards, we then have an opportunity to plug directly into a global ecosystem that is modeled off of the same approach that we're taking. And not only do we then see greater adoption nationally, we see greater adoption internationally, which leads naturally to that scaling of the fintech sector. So super excited by what we're doing. And as you know, we're leading towards our demo day at the end of February. We just put out our progress update on the coalition's work so people can get a sense of what is it we've actually been doing and where are we going. So at some point, there'll be a coalition two, coalition three. We can talk a little bit about that later as well. But I think one of the other key things that we're here to do is really to join the dots as well. There are so many activities in the space. Obviously, you've got the Future Entity, you've got OBL, you've got JROC. I know Innovate Finance are leading on an open finance project as well. And for us, we're really here just to say, look, here's everything that's happening in this space. And here's how, as industry, we should be leading and taking this forwards. And government, pay attention. This is where the direction of travel is. And here's a demarcation point. Here's how you can support on these activities. Here's how the regulator can support. And here's how we can start to join the dots between all these different streams of work that are taking place. And I think that's really where CFIT gets to shine. That's where we really get to play a really key role in being that neutral convener, driver, but with a real commercial focus.
As I love this focus on really finding solutions for tangible and very specific and technical problems. So if we dive deeper into this conversation around open banking and open finance, what do you see as some of the key barriers in terms of really enabling us to fully benefit from open finance? And where do you see the coalition delivering? What are you hoping that the coalition will deliver going forward?
So, I think, let's be honest, the key barriers, it's a combination of technical, it's a combination of regulatory, and it's a combination of trust as well, ultimately. So if we look at those three things, and then it's focus too. If we look at those four things, and we think about where do we need to go, where do we need to lead? I think, yeah, from a technical perspective, it's the standards, making sure that we have the APIs, we know how to pull in that data, we know how to consolidate it, and there's interoperability as well, right? Not just across finance, but across other sectors and think internationally. And so as part of the coalition's work, we've been building proof of concepts to demonstrate how we can actually synthesize some of that data, collate it, bring it together, and access it in a way that we can actually create some really interesting proof of value off the back of that. So we've been working with some of our critical, well, it's not critical, but key coalition partners to be able to really demonstrate there are different use cases that we can tackle with open finance. So one has been around supporting vulnerable customers, and we're working very closely with Citizens Advice Bureau to support some of the work that they do, particularly around their call center operators who have to work with vulnerable customers on a daily basis. But there's a huge amount of information that is required before they can get to a point where they can even give that advice. And I think they remarked on that earlier this week, some of the key challenges, or last week, some of the key challenges they're having around that. So hugely topical. And it's a great example of how open finance, open data isn't just about product switching, right? It isn't just about getting a cheaper loan. It is about how does it actually create better outcomes for individuals? How can we, by gaining control over that data and making sure that we can get access to it at the right time to the right people, what can we do with it? But then let's be clear, there are financial products that benefit as well. So one of the other use cases is around consumer access to SME financing. We know of the 5.5 million SMEs that are out there. A lot of them struggle with access to the appropriate financial products, and you know that impacts their cash flow, their ability to plan, their ability to grow and scale. We could get better financing to those businesses and give them the belief that they can get it as well. You know, imagine if those 5.5 organizations added just one extra job. That's an extra 5 million roles that'd be created in this country. That's massive. So we're working very closely with HSBC and a number of our other key partners such as Experian, et cetera, to show how access to that data can help support that decisioning piece to bring more people into that credit decisioning funnel so that they're actually assessed on their merits as a business as opposed to their merits as a director. So those are two of the key use cases that we're building on. But, you know, I talked about trust. There's a big issue there around, well, okay, it's hard enough to share my banking data, you know, around my bank account and that transaction information. Now you want to access, you know, my BNPL status, my what's it, my rent, my council tax, my VAT records. How does that all work? Company's house data, et cetera. So that consent flow is really important. So putting consent at the heart of it, going beyond just those two data sets that most lenders use today to unlocking a whole host of up to 30 data sets that we prioritize and rank today. Well, how do I trust that this is going to work? How do I trust that I'm actually going to give consent, and how do I manage that? So looking at what those consent flows look like and putting in models around how we could actually do that has been a critical part of the work that's then further facilitated these proof of concepts. But ultimately, all this work that we've been doing has been a key enabler for us to understand what are those real challenges around that. And I've just described a few of them, but ultimately there's a regulatory challenge as well. And this is why the DPDI bill is so important. And we were so pleased to see the support for that in the King's speech earlier this year, and obviously the autumn statement. Seeing that go through legislation, get royal assent later next year is a critical enabler for this. And then ultimately what we want to see is a firm commitment from government and the regulators to further enable the necessary regulatory frameworks to enable access to these data sets, enable access to open finance, and for the future entity to really take a lead on this, right? You know, CFIT is there to enable this work, shine a light on it, get the momentum behind it with industry, but we're not building a product. We don't own that. We don't own that standard. We don't own that library, that trust framework. It's about ensuring that we've got the right partners in place to take these things forward. So that's everything that we've been working on and that we're leading to in some of the key challenges that we see. And we hope to, I don't want to spoil all the secrets, right? But we hope to really be showcasing that at the end of February during our demo day, where we'll really start to bring to life some of these use cases and really talk about that 5-point plan and get some of the key players in the room. And I know we're trying to get Innovate Finance to support us on that activity as well. And we know you will. So really, really looking forward to it. It's been a real labor of love, and I'm just thrilled at the energy and engagement we've had. Yeah, I think what we've tried to do with Open Finance in such a short period of time and CFIT was almost a mission impossible, right? I don't like to think I look like Tom Cruise, but you know, I believe he lives in the UK, Tom, if you're out there, it'd be great to meet you. It's been an incredible opportunity to take a lead on this. And we've seen some really great international engagement as well. You know, I think everyone's really sat up and looked at what the UK is doing on Open Finance now. And I know, again, IF, I know you guys are taking a lead on this as well, particularly in your role. You know, you're the voice of fintech. You know, we're there to support that. So my hope is by unlocking this next wave of innovation, we end up seeing more fintech spun up that then you can shout about and, you know, really wave the banner for. So that's really what's going on at the moment.
So that then begs me to say, what's next? Because obviously, as a coalition model, I think the priority areas that you focus on are really important. So what are you thinking about in terms of challenges or topics that may be on the agenda in the future?
maybe. I'm not, can't commit to it right now, but this is definitely a strong direction of travel for us. So if we look at, we're looking to run a coalition a year at this moment in time. If you consider how our funding works at the moment, unfortunately, we can't run more than that, but maybe at some point in the future, we will be able to. And our coalition model really is at the heart of what we do as an organization. It's about mobilizing the industry to solve really, really difficult challenges that we think unlock that next wave of innovation. And there are two key recommendations in the Khalifa review that we're very aware of that we've not really been able to tackle. And that's been around skills and talent and national connectivity. So we want to bring those together in our next coalition, maybe switch away from that hard technical regulatory challenge that we've been solving in this first one, give our stakeholders a bit of a breather and move on to something a little bit different. And so we're looking at how can we build a fintech center of excellence in the UK and start to build out those clusters. I, you know, we talk about Silicon Valley, I talk about Fintech Valley. You know, how can we build more fintech valleys across the UK, not just in London? Because we know more than 50% of financial services jobs are outside of London, right? So how do we start to support that and scale that up and create more locations where we can commercialize some of the stuff that's coming out? You know, if we look at the coalition, really is a proof of concept factory and a blueprint factory. If we look at one of the reasons why the FCA has been so keen to work with us and supported what we do has been their tech sprints. They do all this great work, and then what happens to it? It goes nowhere. I really see what we're focusing on, this virtual center of excellence, most likely in the Pennines next. So Manchester, Leeds, straddling that space, again, outside of London, is really the founder's factory model, but on steroids, right? But instead of just a single organization backing a problem statement, we're looking at how can we get the entirety of the financial services industry to back a problem statement. And if you think about that, that's what they've done with open finance. It's, well, this is a problem. Here are some sample solutions. If we can then create a virtual center of excellence where we can hand that stuff over to, and some of the stuff that's coming out of the FCA tech sprints and the rest, and go, well, let's bring together the academics, let's bring together the fintechs and the financial services industries to actually solve, and local councils and regional bodies as well, to really take some of these problems forward, create new spin-outs, new spin-ins that then create new opportunities for new startups to be invested in, then that's where we take fintech innovation to the next level. And that, so that's very much what Coalition 2 will be looking at. And then Coalition 3 in 2025, we're looking at, and I'm not going to promise anything, everyone gets very excited about it when I say it, but very much thinking around digital verification. And I think that's absolutely critical. I think it is a key enabler of a data-driven economy. If we want to get to that world, we need it. And it's looking at what would be those key use cases. How do we bring together? And again, you know, there are digital verification solutions out there. We're not talking about creating a brand new one, but about, again, mobilizing industry, bringing everyone together, getting that excitement around it, bringing government to the table, regulators to the table, and looking at how do we take this forwards? And you know, what is the roadmap for rolling this out, and how do we ensure that that key enabler for where we want to be is actually in place? So that's what we're thinking about over the next few years. So that's my plan. That's my 5-year plan.
That is so exciting. And I know so many of us are really excited to see the next few months and next few years, considering what you've already accomplished over the last 9 months. So I'm almost out of time, but I want to end on one final note. So just bringing in the success you've had for your career to date and where you're taking CFIT, do you have any advice out there for founders or CEOs who may be listening?
Advice. I always get asked this question, and it's funny because everyone thinks, well, Ez, how have you planned all? And I didn't, right? But what I've done is always, I've built networks, I've built expertise, right? I talk about having breadth of knowledge across multiple areas, but also depth to be able to really drill deep into any subject matter that I need to focus on. But having belief in yourself, I think, is the most critical thing, right? And that's the one thing I've always done, is believed in my ability to take things forwards. I might not get it right, right? Recognize you will fail. You absolutely will. And you can look at my career as a history of success or a history of learning from failure, right? It depends on how you want to focus on it. And I believe genuinely hindsight is the most powerful tool we have, right? The ability to look at what went right and most importantly what went wrong is what gives you the ability to take that next step and go, well, I didn't quite nail it that time, but I think this is why. So this is how I'm going to change as I go forwards. And it sounds so silly, but I always go for coffee with people. I always take a coffee. You don't know where that conversation, that single 30-minute coffee that you've had with someone will take you. And just by doing that, it might be 6 months' time, it might be 6 years' time that that bears fruit. So it's really important. Network, get out there. It doesn't mean you've got to be an expert. You've got to be at every event going. That's not what it's about. It's about speaking to people, engaging with people, learning about people, what's out there, and having them learn about you. And then when that opportunity comes, it will feel like serendipity. But it's a culmination of the work that you've put in to both learn your craft, learn the subject matter, meet other people, and put it out there. Often say, everyone says, I say you create your own luck. But it's not really luck. What it is, it's about being in the right place at the right time. But if you want to be in the right place at the right time, just stay in the room.
Yeah.
Don't
And
leave,
work hard,
right?
right? Yeah.
And work hard, and eventually the right time will come. So that's really the advice I have for people.
Well, words to live by, Ez. So thank you so much for joining us. What a fantastic conversation. And listeners, thank you very, very much for listening in. And please do join us for our next podcast. That's all for now. Thanks again.
Thank you.